Dear God, we come to you now at the appointed time, and we just ask that you just allow us to hear you, your word, and what you have prepared for us today, and that we are able to look past ourselves and look past all of the selfishness inside of us, and that we are able to receive your word and then apply it to our lives so that others may see you and know you and come to accept you as you live through us. And they feed off the fruit of the spirits that bloom through us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to continue on today with the sermon series that we started last week, turning the page. And last week we kind of talked about, what is it about, what does the Bible say about turning the page? And whether you're starting a new chapter in your life, or if you've kind of stalled out, or if you're kind of sitting on a very comfortable page, you know, what's the Bible say about that? And we looked at the underlying teaching there, in that the Bible is always pushing us. Christianity is a progressive type of religion, and it's a progressive way of life. And what I mean by that is that when you become a Christian, in the second that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, we believe that you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit then, not sometime later, but then. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you are regenerated. You are made a new creature. And the old you no longer exists. And that is all emblematic and representative of Christ at Calvary, in that he is put to death, and then he is buried, and then he arises. Okay, and so those of us that die in Christ, and we give up ourselves and accept him as our Savior, then we are buried, and that is like baptism, we'll put into the water, and then we arise. If we're buried with Christ, then we are, you know, resurrected with Christ. So we're resurrected a new creature, even though you're covered in your sin, but your flesh. So you're still going to fail, and you're still going to have this struggle. But it's a word that I use a lot, sanctification. It's kind of a theological word. And basically that is becoming the process of becoming a saint. And anytime you read in the Bible when they talk about saints, that is reflective of those of the church in heaven. Okay, so we are progressing through this life. And if we do it right, we encounter trials and tribulations. And then you have to kind of judge yourself at the end of these trials and tribulations. All right, how did I get through this trial? Am I better or am I bitter? Okay, did I come out of this trial with a bitter taste in my mouth, or did I come out of this trial a better Christian, closer in my relationship with Christ? Because what the process of sanctification is to allow us to understand our need and to rely on our need for Jesus Christ for everything. And our faith is tested in trials. So that is the process of sanctification. And so if you look at your life, and if you take a clear and honest audit, you have to ask yourself, am I progressing in my relationship? Am I progressing in my spiritual maturity? Because if the answer to that is no, I'm stalling, I'm on a page that is very comfortable, or I'm not willing yet to take that step and start this new chapter that God is pushing me into, then that can be detrimental to your spiritual health. Okay, so many times we look and we think about what's going on in my life? Why do I feel the way that I feel? Sometimes you have to look at these things and ask yourself honestly, what is God, what is Jesus Christ seriously asking of me? And where is he pushing me? Because I'm going to promise you that he's never going to let you sit still. That is just not who he is. That is not what this is all about. If you're still alive, there's a purpose. There's a purpose for your living. And your purpose, your true purpose, is living for Jesus Christ, which means that he has a mission. He has objectives for you. He's got something for you to do. And too many times, and especially in the world that we live in today, the world gets all described to us about me, me, me. What can I do for me and mine? And we get so tied up, and I'm guilty. I tell you every week that I am preaching to myself, you just get to watch. All right? But we get so tied up in things and other activities and what we think are important. Parents sometimes get convinced that you got to do this, this, and this to be a good parent. Otherwise, you're not a good parent. All right? And so you go into this, this, and this, and by the time you get done and get through all of it, you're like, well, that was detrimental to our family. You know, it pulled us apart. It, you know, we were didn't get to see each other. We got pulled out of church or whatever. So those are the things that you, the conversations that you have to have with yourself. Take a true audit, all right? So on Memorial Day weekend, this is a time of reflection for those who have come before us. And if you look at, let's just look at the history of this church. The original church is like the kitchen area and that storage room. So a small little area there, and then, you know, we added on and added, you know, the middle church, and then we added this church, this building, then we added the gymnasium and all that, and now we've come back into this beautifully remodeled room. We added the balcony, you know, did some things, and you think about the progress that has happened and the ministries that we have here. We need to stop, and we do this as, you know, with the deacons and as leadership of the church. We take continually stock, and we take audit about the things that we're doing in this church, okay? And is it in line with what God is asking us to do? But we have to always be looking forward, but there is a time and a place to when you look back. And you have to be thankful for those who, you know, help stomp down the weeds so that your path is smooth. All right? And let me just say that heritage it's an important thing. And it can dictate a lot of things in your life. So today's going to be kind of a raw, truthful kind of sermon. All right? So I am fortunate that, you know, I have a very blessed heritage. My grandparents made sure that my dad and his brothers were in church, that they were singing, and that they were always, you know, together. And they made an atmosphere of family. And then when the kids came along, you know, we just were included into that, and the family got bigger. And you know, I never doubted that I was loved. I never had those moments in my childhood to where I thought, am I loved? I knew I was loved, all right? And now there were struggles, and there were times that things popped up, you know, that were unexpected, but we got through those things. And when I look back, those things helped make me who I am today, and I'm thankful for all that. I'm very thankful for my heritage, all right? And I'm thankful, you know, to be a Phelps. And it has been a blessing to me. And, you know, there's always good and there's bad, but I am thankful. I am truly thankful for my heritage. And that is not always true for everyone. Not everyone got a heritage that church was important in their life and that they needed at some point to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And at some point, they needed to start studying the Bible for themselves. And at some point, they needed to start applying, you know, the things in a Bible to their lives. And here is the scary part about heritage, is that heritage can take a detour. Because if my generation, you know, me and my cousins and my brother, if we don't live up to the things that the generations before us taught us, and if we don't move forward with that kind of, in that kind of progressive way, then our heritage can take a turn, and then a generation or two later, there could be our children's children or grandchildren or whatever it is, religion may play no part in their life. So there is this idea here that heritage is important and it affects who we are. And we can always turn the page on stuff. And we can always redirect what heritage is. And if you didn't receive a great heritage, that doesn't mean that you are doomed or that you can't turn the page and create and start a new heritage. For instance, yesterday I was at a funeral, and there were some guys talking, and they were talking about some things that they had done in their youth. And, you know, they were kind of laughing and at the same time a little bit embarrassed, and nobody's ever done anything in their youth that they're embarrassed of, right? Okay. So, but one of them made the statement and said that, unfortunately, he got labeled. And what he meant by that was at some point there was a label placed on him. And whatever he meant by that, he understood that when people looked at him, they were looking at him and judging him, and he was placed with a label. And I don't know if he accepted that label, if he tried to fight it, or just said, that's who I am, or what. But we need to be careful about, especially in this day and age that we live in, about labeling people. Because once a kid in a school system gets a label put on them, it's hard to get that label off of them. Because I'm the son of educators. I mean, educators talk just like anybody else. What's that kid like? Oh, Lord. All right. I always walked in and they said, oh, you're Kelly's brother, right? And I'd be like, yeah. And you're probably not going to like me as much as you liked him, okay? Because, you know, I'm probably going to cause a little more distractions or whatever, all right? So labels are tough and they're cruel. And I understand human nature, okay? But let me speak to you this morning about the importance of heritage and the importance of legacy. And I'm not at all, because what the last thing that ever needs to happen is that heritage becomes so important that it is almost trumps everything else. In fact, I've read stories of pastors that have written, you know, what's the craziest thing that ever happened in a business meeting? Or, you know, pastors talk too. So I read one time where they were having a vote on this pivotal issue, and it was divided 50-50 down the line. And there was this family that had started this church, and they were kind of the for years, kind of the thing that kept it going. Well, there was one of them left alive, and she was in the nursing home. And they brought her out of the nursing home to a business meeting and allowed her to make the final decision on the vote. And no one knew if she was capable mentally of doing it. It was just that's how much legacy meant inside of that church. So legacy is important. Heritage is important. But it can't be the be-all, end-all. And if you did not get a good heritage, a biblical heritage, let me rephrase that. If you did not get a biblical heritage passed down to you, then there's always time to restart that and always time to make that a valuable place of your family lineage, all right? So let's look. Proverbs says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his children's children, all right? So real quick, this Proverbs is a book of wisdom and knowledge. All right. So what's being said here? This is kind of an impactful statement. And are we talking about money here? Are we talking about valuables? Are we talking about land? All right. Is that what we're talking about? What we're talking about here is in the spiritual element. And if you notice that he stretches it out into generations. So here is the impact, and here is the underlying statement that is being said, is that spiritual heritage done in the proper way bleeds down through generations. And it becomes a part of life. It becomes a part of teaching. It becomes a part of the way that you raise kids and then they raise kids. And so the return of investment on a spiritual legacy is multiple than what sometimes we look at. Because if you look at passing down money, that stuff can get spent by, you know, how many stories are there about the next generation just bleeding through that money? And then, you know, then the next generation is back to just being regular folk, all right? So what's being said here is that it is important for us to leave a spiritual legacy. And it is important for us to make an impact on our kids and on our family. That is important. This is not a private religion. Now, we have our private moments, our intimate moments, but this is not a religion. This is not just a religion. This is a way of life that is passed down. So that is the opening statement that is being said here. And it should be passed down in such an impactful way is that it goes down through generations. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. All right, so there it is. All right. So heritage is in a very important thing. And let's just start level set that it is our obligation to teach and to live in a way that passes our beliefs down to our children and our children's children. Because, and here's why I'm saying this, all right? I have talked to people who have stopped either coming to our church or, you know, gone a different route. And sometimes when I talk to them, they tell me that that was the decision that one of their kids made. And they wanted to honor their kids' decisions. All right? Now, I'm not saying that kids shouldn't be included and, you know, they don't have a right to speak, but let me just say what's going to happen at my house. And I may be talking too much here. All right? But, you know, Tori and Jake went to church when we told them to go to church. And they went to the church that we told them to go to. Now, we're not pounding beliefs into their heads, and we have discussions, and I show them, this is why I believe the way that I believe. And here it is in the Bible. You got to make up your mind, all right? So I'm not indoctrinating them to the point to where that has to be your belief. But we pass this down. And when I was a kid, it didn't matter what time you pulled in or what time you snuck in or crawled in or whatever it was, on Sunday mornings when you heard Kelly, what'd that mean? Get up and go to church. In fact, he said you can't stay out all night and sow your wild oats and then get up and Sunday morning and pray for crop failure. All right? So I probably shouldn't have said that. That's all right. We can edit that out, can't we, Rafi? Anyways, but I mean, that's just, we at some point, the parents have to be parents, and we've kind of maybe lost that a little bit, and I understand, you know, people having opinions and having a voice, but at some point, parents have to take responsibility of being parents, all right? So, a legacy of faith says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty act. And so what we are doing here is everything that we're gearing our children to and that the stuff that we are passing down in order for it. Now, and this is true with everything that we do here. In order for things to work and to be genuine, so that it passes down through generations, it has to be built on glorifying Jesus Christ. So if you are doing anything for selfish reasons or out of this is what I want or this is how I'm going to dictate stuff, then that's not going to produce fruit. But if you're building a heritage and you're building a heritage on biblical teaching and biblical foundations, then that is the stuff that passes down through generations. And if you do it for the right reasons, to glorify Jesus Christ, and we're taught and we express that and we give Jesus all the glory in our lives, then that is a kind of heritage that gets passed down. In fact, there's scripture in Hebrews found where it talks about how people lived their life devoted to a promise, and they sacrificed everything in their lives for that promise, yet knowing that they would never see the fulfillment of that promise. Yet they still lived their lives devoted to the promise. Now that is a life of faith, and that is a life that is leaving a heritage that will be passed down for generations. All right? So it's important, and it's our responsibility to pass down a heritage and a legacy, but don't mistake your own personal reasons and your own personal things and your own personal glorification. We're not passing it down. The best thing that ever can happen to me is when we're at an event or at a baseball game or something, and somebody comes up to me and they say, are you Jake's dad? Or when we're doing something, they say, are you Tori's dad? Because that means that they know Tori and they know Jake. And it's better than when they say to them, you're Aaron's son. It's more of a evidence that things are passing down through in the proper way. All right? So, as we pass this stuff down, the important thing to understand is that the ultimate result and the ultimate reason why we do any of this stuff is to glorify Jesus Christ. Here is our obligation, straight out of the scripture, is that we are to be spiritual benefactors. We are to pass down spiritual teaching. All right, it says in 1 Corinthians, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. So this is Paul talking, and he's talking about his spiritual fathership to the people in Corinth. And here is our obligation, and here is the biblical mandate that is passed down to us, is that we as adults, we as elders, we as Christians, parents and grandparents, we are mandated to be spiritual teachers. We are mandated to be spiritual examples. Now here's the question. If you don't know what to teach your children, if you don't know what to teach your grandchildren, it's time to get into the Bible and understand what the Bible expects of you and what you're supposed to pass down. Because it's hard to pass down knowledge that you don't have. And what is happening here is that, and this happens in every church, there are three or four people that are looked to for biblical knowledge. And just to be honest with you, those are probably three or four people who have actually read the Bible all the way through, or they study the Bible and stuff. Okay? There's nothing special about those people. They just study the Bible. And sometimes if you're honest with yourself, ask yourself, when's the last time you did a true Bible study? And you did a true Bible study in a very consistent manner. What does your Bible study look like? Is it when you need something, or when you've got a question that pops up? Or do you have a consistent Bible study that you have so that you can educate yourself and you can prepare yourself to be a spiritual benefactor? Because there is nothing worse than having responsibilities and then not being prepared and not having the ability to fulfill those responsibilities. And then so many times when we're unable to fulfill those responsibilities, we just do what people do best and just pull back and let it ride. All right? This is not something that we can let ride. This is something that we have to get serious about. Inside of our houses, inside of this church, and I am going to say and make a declaration here, is that we are seeing trouble in this country. And yes, I will agree with you. A lot of the trouble in this country comes from the top down. All right? I'll agree with you on that. You have to be almost crazy not to identify that. But here's the other thing. A lot of the trouble in this world is coming from the bottom up. And it's because we as Christians aren't prepared to handle the things that are going on in this world. And we have not handled some of the trials and tribulations our countries are going through in the best way. And sometimes the church becomes divisive. And I understand that there's a time to take a stand. There are some things we have to stand on. There are some things that are non-negotiable. All right? Life is non-negotiable. You can't negotiate that. Okay? There are certain things that you just can't negotiate. But there are some times when we have to approach things and approach it with forgiveness, grace, mercy, and love. Because those are the things that Jesus Christ reflected. And he reflects. All right? So, too many times in this world, the trouble is that we are crumbling from the bottom up. And if you look, a lot of times the things that are happening at the top are happening because of what's being expected from them at the bottom. All right, so here is my summation, is that if you want your family to get stronger, get into the Bible. Start making decisions based on biblical truths. If we want our church to grow and to be have a greater impact, then we have to start pushing things for the glory of Jesus Christ and building on biblical truth. Amen? Okay. And then it also says in Titus that, you know, even it goes all the way through. It gives men what they're supposed to do. It gives, the women are supposed to teach. Here's just the summation of this, is that we... Man, I'm going to get fired after this sermon, all right? We end up coming to church and sitting down and being entertained by the music, struggling through my sermons, leaving and checking the box and said, I went to church, I did my duty, all right? And that's as far as it goes sometimes. Let's just be honest with ourselves. That's as far as it goes, because as soon as you walk out that door, I'm the same way. When I pick up that phone over there, I lay down, there's going to be 15 messages, all right, about what's going on. Hey, did you do this? Okay, so I get it. As soon as you walk out these doors, life hits you, and it hits you fast, and this life is moving faster than it ever has moved, all right? But here's what we have to do, is we got to get serious. We have to get serious about teaching and exemplifying Christ here in this church and in our families. And we have to do it in a way that is consistent regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what's going on outside in the world. Amen? And if we do this, it can be a lasting legacy. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation that was laid before you, so those of the people who came before us, they built. And, you know, there were some people who gave money that didn't have money, and they built, and they put blood, sweat, and tears into this building and into the ministries here. And there were times when preachers didn't get paid, and people did things that they didn't have the money to do. And they sacrificed to make sure that Star Church was always out here. All right? And that is what has happened inside of their families. They, you know, guys went without eating so kids could eat and all that stuff. Dad talked about... Mama always wanting the neck bone. Nobody wants the neck bone, okay? Let's just be honest. She was giving everybody else the food, all right? But here is what it's telling you, is that when it comes our time to build our layer of foundation, what are we going to build with? How are we going to build? And the Bible says that you have to build with the best of the materials. You can't build with halfway faith, and you can't build with halfway trust. And you can't build with cheap this and cheap that, all right? And regardless of what's going on and regardless of the circumstances that are at the present in history at that time, we are still required to build our layer of foundation. And if we don't build it properly with the proper materials in the proper kind of way, in the proper kind of trade, I mean, we're talking about the foundation here. And there's going to be more generations coming and building on top of the foundation that we're laying. And you have to ask yourself, in your family line, or in this church line, or whatever however tight you want to make the circle or broad you want to make it, you have to ask yourself, I have to ask myself, What does the layer of my foundation look like? Is it going to be able to hold those who are going to come after me, like the people before us? Or is this going to be one of those times when people build on top of me and then it crushes down and they got to deal with the workmanship that wasn't done well, wasn't done correctly, and they didn't use proper material? And they got to deal with the fallout about how the foundation that we laid couldn't support the next layer. All right? And that is what you have to ask yourself inside of your family. Because, listen, we are not, I mean, you got to ask yourself, what are we talking about here? We are talking about teaching kids and people and sending them out into the world that we're watching on TV and that we're living in. I mean, there's kids from El Dorado. I watched that graduation ceremony. They're going away. Like, they're going far away where they don't know anybody. And they're going to have to rely on all the teaching and all the things that were done when they were here. And when we send our kids away and their faith is challenged, what are they going to fall back on? How strong is the foundation built that they are standing on? Because there are a lot of smart people, and they don't have the best of intentions, and they don't have the best motives. And so we're doing some very, very serious work here. And this isn't the kind of work to where we can just have people show up and sit down in a chair or in a pew and leave. Too important. Can't have that. We can't do that anymore. The world is too mean, and it's too nasty, and it just eats people up now. We need to be a church that is producing mature Christians and strong families. Amen? Otherwise, let me ask you this question. What are we doing here? Are we just doing it to do it so that we can say Star Church has lasted 200 years? Well, if we're not a place of impact, what does it matter? What are we doing? And I'm talking to myself here. Because I'm your pastor, and I'm the first servant, and you know, a lot of this will fall back on me or whatever. So we got to ask ourselves, what are we doing here? How serious are we taking the job of passing down a Christian heritage, not just to our families, but to those who come here? Because last week we had a young man come up, and you know, we congratulated him. And I don't know, he posted on Facebook, and there were several people that typed in, I went to that church. Those people were out living. How impactful was their time here? And we have to properly receive the inheritance. Okay? I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. So here is Jesus Christ talking, and these are the words of Jesus Christ, and this could not be any more direct, straight to the church, straight to Christians, than it could ever get. And this is what he is saying. He is saying that it's time for us to do the work that we're supposed to do. Our day is now. It soon will turn night. Our time will soon be up. And regardless of what your age is, life flies by. I hate it. I thought that was so foolish when we had Tori, and they were like, you better enjoy every minute because it flies by. Well, she's getting ready to be a senior, and it was like 10 minutes ago that they told me that. All right? I understand. It goes by. Life flashes by, all right? And it's like you had all this, all these plans, and you're going to do this, this, and this. And then life got in the way. And, you know, you had bills to pay, and you got things you got to do. And it's like, well, I didn't live up to any of that. And then you got to hope that the time that you did spend with your kids and the teachings that you did have with them, that that's going to be the stuff that helps make them be successful, not just in a material way, but spiritually successful when they leave my house. And we got to get, and I know I'm preaching to the choir today, but we have got to get serious about this stuff. And Jesus Christ, he could not be any more clear when he says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. He's just flat saying, it's time to do the work that we are asked to do before our time is up. And wouldn't it be a horrible thing that we wasted a heritage, a moment of heritage that we could pass down? We wasted the ability to pass down a legacy. Wouldn't that be terrible? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing at your end of the days and think about that? This is out of the Old Testament. This is a little tough verse, okay? So prepare yourself. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. The sin of omission, the sin of inactivity, the error of, I didn't do it. How many, and I'm asking this to myself out loud to you, how many times did I have the opportunity to present the gospel to somebody and I passed for whatever reason, out of fear, out of, I didn't want to offend them, I didn't want to do this or that, whatever justification or excuse I want to bring up? Or how many times have I been a stumbling block to somebody? How many times have I caused somebody to doubt their faith? When did I not be a good friend and come to somebody in a loving way? But my fear is that on my judgment day, I'm going to find out, okay? And I just pray that if I did miss an opportunity to preach to somebody or to show them the love of Jesus, that it's not too late, they're still with us, and I get another opportunity, and that when the opportunity arises, I take full advantage of that. And we have to be a church that takes advantage of opportunities. We can't mail it in. We can't go through the methods. We can't just go through the agenda and say, we checked it off. We did this and that. I'm imploring to you, as your pastor, as someone who loves each and every one of you, I'm imploring to you, let's be a church. Let's be a people who take advantage of our time, and we build a layer, a foundation that will last and be impactful through a thousand generations. Let's be those kind of people. Let's be that kind of era, not for us, but for the glory of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way that it gets passed down. That's the only way that it gets blessed.
Thank you for tuning into Star Church's sermon. We truly hope that the sermon edified you today and brought you closer to the Lord. For more information about Star Church, visit our website at stargbchurch.com. Once again, that's stargbchurch.com. If you would like to visit our church, our address is 4925 State Road 142 North, El Dorado, Illinois, zip code 62930. We now pray that God will bless you as you enter the mission field and bring His word to the world. And, as always, we will see you next time here at Star Church.